Wow. I don't really need to teach anything more. I'm gonna. But we really have heard some wonderful word of God. I was blessed this morning. Phoebe reminded me today that it's okay to be dumb. And that's really a wonderful thing to realize, because we have a God who's really, really smart. I thought maybe we'd just take a look at some of the things that we've been taught. We are what God's word says we are. We have what God's word says we have. I just wrote down it. And by the way, if you taught and I missed a main point in your teaching, I apologize now, all right? But everybody else wrote their notes, okay? And we're going to look at a lot of promises in a minute. The name of Jesus Christ, what a great, great promise that is for us to use the name of Jesus Christ. It's our power of what? Power of attorney, to take the place of the risen Christ, that we are above every name, that we're completely, completely immersed in that name. We have the authority that Jesus Christ had when he was on the earth, that we're in a position of victory. We saw about applying God's word in everyday situation. You wake up in the morning, and what do you think of first? God, God. You think of God. And throughout the day, how God is a part of our life in every single situation. You go to work, and you don't curse the people that are driving next to you, remember? And then you look to God when a situation comes up at work. And then you keep speaking in tongues. You keep walking on God's word. You get to fellowship that night. You're ready to give. You're ready to bless people because God's been working in you. What a great way. And then when you lay your head on the pillow, whatever time that may be, and I won't ask what time you went to bed last night, but you are ready. You're ready to have a rest and then to start it all over again with God. And if you lose your car keys, we know who to call. God daily loads us with benefits. We looked at Psalm 139, and that was just awesome that morning, how God cares for us, and he personally cares for each one of us. Then to confess what God's word says. It might look different in the senses, but we confess what God's word says, because what God's word says, we synchronize our heart with that, and that's what we do. We speak God's word to ourselves, we speak God's word to others, and we believe that word. That's where power is. We surround ourselves with God's word. We master the basics, get the word there. And one thing that blessed me is we say exactly what God's word says. What did you say, Patrick? Not a cousin? Was it a cousin? Cousin of it. Not a cousin of the word, the word. And we know how the adversary works, so we can put the word there to stop him in his tracks. Then how God's word is enough. Claim God's promises. Who is God? Who is God? He is that God. And we went through all those great verses of who he was and what he can do for us. Remember the three promises? He'll meet your every need. Do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Do you remember the third one from Philippians? I'm sorry, from 1 Peter? Right, by his stripes we are what?
Healed.
We were healed. Then we looked in her inimitable way, get it now. Get that word of God now. We're doers of the word. We're not hearers only. It's great for us to hear a lot of stuff. It's great for us to know a lot of stuff, but that won't get you much. We need to start acting on it, and that's where we get the results, the great blessing. Rejoice, pray without ceasing. Remember the third one? In everything good, thanks. You were listening. Yeah. In everything, give thanks. I love what Joe said. A successful person is one who has a great relationship with God. That's a successful person. What a wonderful thing to think about. And then this morning, forget not all his benefits. How fantastic, how great God is. God supplies every one of our needs. It's like a cluster of grapes life that we have, because that's what God wants for us. Well, What a great foundation for us to go from here to walk on God's word. I'd like you please to turn to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. One person that God has given to us as the example of believing is Abraham. If we go to Romans chapter 4, it talks about it. And by the way, this verse back here, that's referring to Abraham. That Abraham was the one that was fully persuaded. And look at verse 20, please. Romans 4, verse 20. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in what? Faith, strong in believing, giving glory to God. By the way, you know what gives glory to God? It's in this verse. When we believe. When we believe, that's what gives the glory to God. That's giving glory to God. When we believe his word, that's being doers of the word. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. That's what we think about when we think about Abraham, right? But you know, he wasn't always such a great believer. He had a humble beginning, maybe like some of us. Look at Joshua, please, chapter 24. It took some time for Abraham to get to the promise. It took some time for Abraham to be fully persuaded. If you go to Joshua, we see a little bit about Abraham's beginning. Chapter 24. I was glad we had some songs and other stuff after those guys sang, after Christina sang. I wasn't in much shape to teach at that moment. What a God we have, man. You there? Joshua 24? Look at verse 2. And Joshua said unto all the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood. It's talking about the Euphrates River. In old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor. And they what? Are you kidding me? God picked a guy who came from a family that served other gods. What's the one thing, if you read through the Old Testament, that God really, really doesn't like? Right? Idolatry. Idolatry. And here he goes, and God picks this guy, Abraham, who comes from a family of idolaters. Quite an interesting thing, isn't it? You know, if you're worried about your beginning or where you started from or how much you don't have, it's okay to be dumb. It's okay to be dumb. And it's okay to realize that these great people like Abraham, the example of believing, started out as an idolater. Served other gods. And it says in verse 3, and I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood and led him throughout all the land of Canaan and multiplied his seed and gave him Isaac. Let's go to Acts chapter 7, please. Acts chapter 7. Somehow, Abraham went from a family of idolaters to being the person that's called the friend of God. I think three times in the Bible it mentions that he was God's friend. That's quite a switch, right? Acts 7, here we're getting a history lesson. If you go to verse 2, and he said, men, brethren, and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Haran. That's something for us to remember. Before he came to Haran, and he said in verse 3, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and come into the land which I will show thee. Abraham grew up in this town called the Ur of the Chaldees. Now, Chaldees, what does that sound like? California. No, it's not. What does it really sound like? Chaldeans, the Chaldeans. Do you remember who the Chaldeans were? Astrologers, They were Satan worshipers. They were those people that tried to kill Daniel. Remember Daniel in the lion's den? This is where Abraham came from. And God spoke to him when he was still in that town. And then he said, in verse 3, he said, get out of thy country and from thy kindred. Kindred means your family. Get away from your family and come into the land which I will show you. Wow. God appeared to him before he went to Haran. He said, get out of the country and get away from your family. Now go to Genesis chapter 11. The whole relationship with God was a little rocky at the beginning. Genesis chapter 11. You can read about Abraham throughout 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, all the way to, I think, 21 of Genesis. And in chapter 11, look at verse 28, please. And Haran died. Well, praise the Lord. Before his father Terah in the land of his nativity, that's in Ur of the Chaldees, and Abram and Nahor took them wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife, Milcah, the daughter of Haran, and the father of Milcah, and the father of Iscah. You all remember Iscah. Yeah. Verse 30. But Sarai was what?
Barren.
She had no child. And Terah took Abram and his son and Lot, the son of Haran, Haran's son, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, and his son Abram's wife. She was Abram's wife, but she was also his own daughter by another wife. And they went forth with them from Ur of Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan, and they came unto Haran and dwelt there. Well, if you know the map at all, Ur of Chaldees is down here by the Persian Gulf at the bottom point of Iraq, okay, today. Haran is, I don't know, 400 or 500 miles north and east of that. That's not where God said to go. Where did God say to go? The land that he would show them. The land that he would show them is down over here. So he took his family, which is not what God said. He went. He didn't go to the place God told him to go. And let's read on. Interesting, isn't it? What verse were we in? 31. 32? Well, let's read 31 again, all right? The middle of it, it says, they went forth from Ur of Chaldees to go unto the land of Canaan, and they came to Haran and dwelt there. It says they dwelt there in Haran. Now, if you take a two-week vacation, do you call it dwelling? They must have stayed there a little while, right? All right, Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy family and from thy father's house unto a land which I will show you, and I will, here's the promise, I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. That's got to be grace. An idolatrous family, God calls him and he says, I did this for you. I called you. I'm going to make you great. How much did Abraham have to do? Believe. All he had to do was believe what God promised. Isn't that kind of like us? Isn't it all done for us already? All we have to do is what?
Believe.
Let's believe. That's the doers of the word. Verse 4. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. So he was 75 when he was way up there in Haran, but God called him when he was still way down in Ur of Chaldees, right? So sometime before he was 75. Verse 5. And Abram took Sarai his wife and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance they had gathered, and the souls they had gotten in Haran. I think it takes time to get souls in Haran, don't you? While they're dwelling there. Yeah, and they went forth into the land of Canaan. Into the land of Canaan they came. Now, Genesis 12, verse 7. God appears to Abram again. The Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. So God's clarifying. He's making more detail to the promise. To the promise. Unto thy seed will I give this land. Go to chapter 13. Look at how he's working with Abraham. Chapter 13, verse 14. And the Lord said to Abram, so this is a third time God's coming to him, if I counted right. And Abram, after Lot was separated from him, he said, lift up thine eyes now, look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward. That's a lot of head turning. But, you know, like all the way around you, right? For all the land which thou seest to thee will I give thee, and to thy seed forever. God's giving him more detail on his promise. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Isn't the way God describes things awesome? He could say you're going to have a lot, but he says, try to count the sand in the, you know, on the seashore and all over the world. Verse 17, arise. So now he tells them something to do. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Now let's go to chapter 15, okay? Genesis chapter 15. God appears to him. What are we up to, number 4? After these things, verse 1, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield, I'm your protection, and thy exceeding great reward. I'm going to reward you greatly. Abraham hasn't done anything except sort of obey God at this point. I go childless, and Abram said to the Lord, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. I always felt bad for Eliezer. He goes, this Eliezer, you know, like he's right there, you know, like this dude over here, that's the one. Poor Eliezer, he was probably a good guy. Look at verse 3. And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir, this Eliezer over here. Verse 4, and behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir. Now he's just called this. Poor Eliezer. You know, he was probably a great dude. But God says, yeah, this shall not be thine heir. But he shall come forth out of thine own bowels, and out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look, now toward the heaven, and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. Go ahead, tell them. Tell the stars if you're able to number them. You know, I love this banner here. Look at all, this is all the sand of the sea, and here are the stars. You ever look at the stars when you're not in Atlanta? You know, they're there, and they're all over the place. He said, see if you can count them. Isn't that cool that God does that? First he tells them the sand, then he says the stars, you know, so shall thy seed be. And verse 6, he did what? It's the first place it says that. Not that he didn't believe before. He certainly obeyed God to go into the promised land. But it says he believed God. And God did what? He counted it to him for righteousness. Here is this idolatrous dude that comes around and believes God, and God says, okay, you are righteous. Righteous. You're perfect in my sight. You're justified. What a God. If he can take this guy from Ur of the Chaldees, an idolater, and he can turn him into the guy that we call the father of those who believe, what about me? It's okay to be dumb, but to listen to God and think of what he can do for us. Do we have righteousness? Was it based on anything you or I did? God just said, okay, I'm going to give it to them because they can't do it for themselves. And he said, verse 7, unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. See, it took a long time for this promise of God to be realized, but Abraham did continue to believe God. He continued to believe God. Go to verse 18, please. In the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land. And now he tells him how big it is. From the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Now go to chapter 16. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, verse 1, bare him no children, and she had an handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said to Abram, behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. That's the way they always talked. If a woman couldn't bear children, they always blamed God. Verse 1, it says, I pray thee, go in unto my maid, and it may be that I may obtain a child by her. So, by the way, this was part of their culture. The handmaid, if someone couldn't conceive, it was okay in that culture there in Ur of Chaldees, for her to say, go into my handmaid and have a child with her. Guess what Abram did? He hearkened to the voice of Sarai. Okay, I'll go. Man, I got to do what I got to do. Now, if your wife tells you, no, never mind. Verse 3, there's places we will not go. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan. 10 years after he'd already been doing all that traveling. And then it says, and he gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife, and he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she'd conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. Sarah tried to figure out God's job. You ever do that? Never works out well, does it? Never does. They're trying to help him. God says it's going to be an heir. He said it's going to be from Abram's seed, right? So Sarai figures, okay, he hooks up with my maid over here, and it's going to be his seed. We're helping God out. But it wasn't God's idea. Whose was it? Sarai, bless her heart. She conceived, and when she saw she was conceived, remember, Hagar looked at Sarah, and she was despised in her eyes. You know, we do this too. Sometimes I've tried to figure out how God's going to bless me. I just thought this morning about a time when we had just bought a house in New Jersey and it needed a new roof. And we didn't have a whole lot of money, so just prayed. And this is the craziest thing, though. You know, I figured that somehow I would make more money and everything and fix this roof on our house. And somebody came to my door and gave me this paper, this envelope, and asked me to sign for it. And I signed for it, and it was a check for $12,000. That came from my credit card. Yeah, believe it or not. I don't know if that happens anymore. It's the only time it ever happened to me. But $12,000 just showed up at my door. All I did was sign for it. And I looked at it and I said, how did this happen? I didn't go into any sweepstakes. I didn't play the lottery. I didn't do any of that stuff. But God, I would have figured out a different way to pay for that stupid thing. But God, we had extra money left over. It was awesome. Well, look at 16:16, please. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abraham. He was 86 years old, many years after the initial promise. Okay, now 17, chapter 17, verse 1. When Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram. Okay, so Ishmael was born when he was 86. This is 24 years after he was in Haran. That's kind of a long time, don't you think, to be believing for a promise? He's called the father of believing. And it says here in Now let's read this verse again. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect or complete. And I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abraham fell on his face and talked with God and said, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful. Look at what God is doing to this guy. All he had to do was believe. And God gives him promise after promise. Verse 7, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. God added another great promise there. I'm going to be your God and the people that come after you. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger and all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession. And I will what? Be their God. There's a place in Psalm 105 where it's talking about this promise, and he says it was to 1,000 generations. 1,000 generations. You know how long that is? I tried to figure it out, but I won't go through the math with you, and it's not my forte. But if you just think about the generations from Abraham to Jesus Christ, that's what, 28 generations? All right? So that was like 1,000 years. All right? So that's 28 generations. We haven't even made a dent in that 1,000 generations at this day in 2021. Where are we living in? 2022. What a promise. What a promise. Go down to verse 15, please. As for Sarai, thy wife, God said to Abraham, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be your name, and I will bless her and give thee a son of her. And I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abram fell on his face and did what? Laughed. The father of believing. Pretty neat, isn't it? He laughed, and what did he say here? He goes, he said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that's 100 years old? And Sarah that's 90 year old bear? And Abram said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. He has another idea. Well, we already have this dude, Ishmael. What about him? God said, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I'll establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his seed after him. See, we often underestimate God. God said it would come out of his seed, and God had the way for it to happen. God does make a way where there's no way. And who are we to question that? He's God. He has all the resources, like he told us in the manifestations today, all the resources to take care of our every need. Sometimes we try to figure it out. We shouldn't be bound. We shouldn't be bound by our own senses or what we see. Your situation you think is so unique. But God, we got a God, so who cares? Who cares how big it is? Go to Numbers 11 for a second, please. Numbers chapter 11. Moses had a little problem with this too. Numbers 11. God told Moses he needed to feed these people. Numbers 11, and let's go to verse 21. 11:21. And Moses said, the people among whom I am are 600,000 footmen. You know, that's just the men, right? And thou hast said, I'll give them flesh that they may eat a whole month? Moses was looking at a daunting task. Shall the flocks and the herds be slain for them to suffice them? Or shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together to suffice them? Moses was trying to figure out how to do God's promise. Look at what God says. This is a classic. And the Lord said to Moses, is the Lord's hand waxed short? Probably shut Mo up really quick there, don't you think? Thou shalt see whether my word shall come to pass or not. So come on, why would we limit God? We don't need to limit God. Abraham is our example. Okay, a couple more places. Genesis 21. Genesis 21. This is the guide that God wants us to think about regarding believing. He doesn't just show us all the good stuff about him. He shows us how human he is, how he's flawed, how he doesn't come from a great family, how he didn't always do exactly what God wanted him to do. Yet God said, this is the guy who's the father of all those who believe. Cool for us to realize, because there's hope for me, O Lord. 21, did I tell you number? Genesis 21? Okay, let's go to verse 1. And the Lord visited Sarah, as he said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. I guess Abraham also did to Sarah what God had spoken. Verse 2, for Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time which God had spoken to him. Isn't that our God? He's never late, sometimes not as early as we want, but never late, and he gets the job done. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born to him, Bob. Oh, no. He called him Isaac, and Abram circumcised his son in verse 4, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abram was how old? 100 years old. Many, many years later, it happened. He saw the promise of God that God gave to him. It took him years to get to this place, and he had disaster after disaster, but God fulfilled his word. Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. Sure has been a tremendous blessing being in God's word. And for us all being together, what a fantastic thing. Healing happens when people of God are together. This is the time to make decisions when the word is residing in your mind. That's the time to make great decisions. This is the time for us to claim the things that God has given to us and to utilize each other, the way that we have to bring to each other great deliverance from God. He works in each one of us. It says in verse 13 of Hebrews 6, for when God made promise to Abraham, because he swore by no greater, he swore by himself. Now, you know, we can use the name of Jesus Christ, right? Here at this hotel, we use the name of Stephanie, and it gets us a long way. When I was fighting with the guy about the coffee, he said, that's not on our list, the beverage order. And I said, well, in the name of Stephanie, it is. My name had no clout, but Stephanie's. But God, who's God going to call on? You know, so he says, okay, I'm going to call on myself. That's what he did. He could swear by no greater, saying, surely, verse 14, blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. So after that he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Romans chapter 4. Abraham got there. Abraham got there. And although he wasn't obedient the whole time, he got there. He got to that place, and he is the one who's called the father of believing. Romans 4, verse 11. I think there's hope for you and me, because it's all been done for us too in Christ. We live the promised land. Ephesians is the promised land for the believer. Does it say in Ephesians, do this, do that? Ephesians 1, 2, 3, there is nothing for you to do. It's everything that God did for us. That's the promised land. That's the big cluster of grape living that we have. You have to ask Elise about that one. 4, verse 11. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had, yet being uncircumcised, that he might be what? The father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. It said that he was the father of believing, of those who believe, and it says that all the nations of the world would be blessed in him. Well, that didn't happen to Abraham. That happened many years later when the promised seed, Jesus Christ, of the seed of Abraham, came and was a blessing to all the world. That's when that part of the promise was fulfilled. Some of the promise to Abraham has not been fulfilled yet. You read about it in Revelation. What a promise God made. If he did what he said he would do to Abraham back then, don't you think he's going to do what's coming in the future? He never goes back on his word. Look at verse 16. Therefore, it's of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to only that which is of the law, but to also that which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians. You know, God gave us these records in the Bible for us to read them over and over and over again, for us to talk about them. We were talking at breakfast how, you know, at a thing like this, somebody teaches a verse and you'd put it in your teaching, but they already taught it. Somebody sabotages your teaching because they steal a verse from you. But then I started to not worry about that because God wants us to know all of his word. If it was repeated in every teaching, every single day, God wants that. It's his word. He wants us to get it. So I don't feel so bad if everyone steals my scriptures. Chapter 3, verse 14. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through whom? Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. By the time Abraham was 99, he saw some of the promise of God fulfilled to him, and some of it still future. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We were in this verse, in this chapter last night. Verse 24, 5:24. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. If you haven't seen deliverance yet for the problem in your life, don't give up. God is faithful. God will fulfill his word. I want to read you just a few of the promises again. I'm not hitting every promise that we heard this weekend, okay? So if you taught and I missed your promise, I'm sorry. You can tell everyone that promise too, okay? Overcome the adversary, grace, forgiveness, victory, hope. Christ is coming back. The name of Jesus Christ, remission of sins, God always looking to bless us, healing, freedom, God fights for us, sons of God, blameless, harmless, redeemed, salvation, righteousness, complete, sanctified, justified, peace, more than conquerors, reconciled, Christ in us, love of God, manifestations of the Spirit. God will supply your every need. He'll do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think. All things that pertain unto life and godliness, joy, mercy. Those are some that I wrote down. I think we're kind of loaded. I mean, in a good way. We are loaded. Did we go to 1 Kings? Let's do that. 1 Kings chapter 8. My goodness. Are we blessed or what? Thanks to everyone who taught. My gosh, it was awesome going into God's word. 1 Kings chapter 8. And these are things to take home with us. Look at this. What a beautiful record here. Look at verse 56, please. 8:56. Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel, according to all that he what? Promised. There hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant. Let me ask you something. Has God changed? God hasn't changed. 2 Corinthians 1. Give me a chance to exercise here in these scriptures. 2 Corinthians 1. In verse 20. For all the promises of God are yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. Yea, and amen. The last verse I want to share with you is Numbers 23, a really familiar verse to us. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers 23. Abraham is such a great example to us. He didn't start out so great. It took him at least 25 years for him to start to see the promise that God had promised him when he told him to get out of your land, get away from your people, and go to the place I told you to go. Numbers 23, I think there's hope for us. 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. You know, he'll never take it back. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? See, we need to just get to the place, whatever it takes for you, whatever it takes for me, to get to that place that we say, yes, I'm fully persuaded. Yes, it might be drilling that word of God relentlessly into our minds. It might be repeating a verse over and over and over and over and over and over again. It might be telling your wife or your husband to hit you anytime you say something you don't want to say. Whatever it takes, but we get to that place, we're fully committed. We're fully convinced that God's going to do what he says. And God has no problem on his part. God is faithful who promised. Thanks, Father, for your word. Thanks for the great blessing and privilege and that joy that we have, Father, that you do what you say you'll do and that we have what your word of God says we have. Thank you for each one of us here, Father. I give each of our hearts to you. You know us inside and out. In every need and every issue that we have, you have the means to take care of it. And I give those things to you for each one of us right now. Thank you for your deliverance. Thank you for your love, your salvation, your grace, your mercy. And I'm not going to go through that whole list of promises again. And Father, for the blessing and privilege for us to be able to be together for a couple of days to be in your word and with each other, I sure thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.